And all welcome to you all. It's wonderful to share with you in God's Word. Terry sends his greetings. Sorry he can't be with you, but he's only allowed out once on a Sunday. So, his wife can get a lift in the morning, but not in the afternoon. But he sends his greetings, and he had a fantastic time with you, as I did this morning. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here to worship with you and share in the Lord's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, and continue the themes from this morning, which is about others, which I think you as a church are discovering. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. This is a well-known story. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. I'm reading from the NIV. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of all his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would speak to us. You would open our hearts, our minds, our understanding, dear Lord. You would come into our very souls. Dear Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to come inside of us. We desire to see your face here. And Father God, as we have spent this time around worship and prayer and your word, we would ask that you would breathe us in and you would say, "Thank you, my people," as a sweet scent offering. Dear Lord, if our hearts have grown cold to your word, you would enable them to beat with your heartbeat. If our blood no longer flows with your warmth from the power of your spirit, we would ask, dear Lord, that you would fill us full of fire so once again we would be alive. And that, dear Lord, that as we say in your prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread. Provide us with sustenance here this evening so that we might be able to be sustained for the coming week and our lives and all that we have to do." We ask all these things in He who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's people said. Amen. Thank you. Welcome to part two. Really, this is a four-part series, so I apologize for only giving you half. But we've already looked at the fact that Jesus has told us from this morning that a time of judgment will come. And he will separate us into two camps. Now, I wonder who can remember from this morning. What are those two camps? Thank you very much. Very good. Well, you're better than my church. They go this, you know, and that's only from morning to afternoon. Two camps, sheep and goats. Goats on the left, sheep on the right. We have discovered that sheep are those who are saved, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, who have that personal relationship. Rather than knowing of him, they know him. And because of what Christ has done into their life and doing in their life, they're enthused. They have passion. They desire for others to know the Lord Jesus Christ and have that passion and power like they have. You see from people's behavior Their obedience to Christ. I wonder how obedient you are to him who died for you, who saved you, who has given you everything. I wonder what your purpose is in your life as a fellowship and as a church. I wonder if the people outside see from your actions that you are alive in Christ and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you to overcome all things, that you stand upon a rock which is a firm foundation. Do you recognize what Christ has done for you? And that you recognize in yourselves that you are the children of God, that you have salvation, and there is a Father who loves you and has prepared a place for you and desires to share his passion with you that he has for the world. During this session, we're going to look at others and who and what they are and what we should be in Christ and what our response should be to others, both as an individual and as a fellowship, and ultimately then as a church. I can probably be confident in saying many of the churches that I've attended and go to, this particular message is rarely ever taught in Christ's church. For the word work seems to be a dirty word. Rather than what it says in God's word, it's a manifestation of who and what we are in Christ. How can we be passive when we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives for what he has done for us? How can we be passive? It's impossible to be passive unless we just know of Christ rather than know Christ in our lives. If we look at our reading, we can perhaps see, as Christ saw in those times, that we see the established church, those who are the existing leaders of that time, the Levites, who were commissioned during the time of Moses to lead the people of God into God's spirituality. The keepers of the Lord, those who should have been closest to God, for they were dedicated to him, for they received recompense for their duty from the people. But because they were caught up in the church ritual, what is going on and their responsibilities, they allowed themselves to become distant from the one who loved them. They falling in love with the church and its rituals rather than the very God who set it up, who placed it amongst the people to keep them close to him. They lost their way. They lost the love that God has given them. So they've lost the love for others. Their lives should have been one of faith and purpose and reliance on God. Yet they failed to understand. They hadn't worked for God. They had no mercy in their hearts. And because of that, they were passive rather than active within the world. And they fell from grace and the love of God. There was no room in their hearts for others and God's grace and compassion. The priest was afraid. He walked on by. He did not want to get involved. He was too busy. The very one that perhaps should have been in action in this situation had better things to do, had more things on his mind, rather than get involved. He did not want to be involved. And these attitudes can describe the church largely as it is today. For you see, when we get involved in the lives of others, it's messy, it's dirty. But have you not been saved? Have you not received a secure eternity? Are you content with who and what you are with other people? Do you know what your mansion's going to be in heaven? Do you know your place in heaven? Do you know what God is preparing for you in heaven? And is that heaven because you know that inside of your life and therefore in your life? Are you content with just knowing that you have a secure future? Or do you have inside of you a gnawing a desire, a hunger for the fact that you know, this world knows, that 98% of the people who surround this very place are going to a lost eternity. Does not your spirit, your soul, your body cry out to a God and ask him why and scream why? Why, God, are you allowing this to take place? You have saved me. Provide me with the opportunity and courage so that I might reach out to others, so others may come to know you because of me. And that isn't necessarily that you're standing on the street corner preaching, but rather you take the opportunity that God gives you, whether it's a word, an action, a deed, a card, flowers, or whatever. Just helping people, perhaps even just carrying shopping for someone else, that you might minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. For aren't you free? Haven't you got a secure eternity? Have you not got freedom from that which ails you, which keeps you chained? Have you not freedom from that which addicts you? When you meet God face to face, what are you going to say to him? Or are you going to be full of regrets? And as the Lord looks at you, he has tears in his eyes to say, look what you should have done. I know people are messy. They have dirt in their lives, but didn't we? They have problems, which we all have. But you were exactly like them at one time. And someone has spent the time and effort with you. Christ said it is better to give than receive. And if we receive, then it is better for us to give, to reach out to those who need your help. For you are the Christ that they will only ever see. Do not others deserve what you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ in your ministering and your tender care for them? We have been saved. We have been set free. And these readings are fulfilling the need that perhaps that many people have always wondered about. What is the will of God for my life? Well, we heard this morning, didn't we, for the fact that the will of God for your life is to feed people, to give them a drink, to clothe them, to set them free. And that may not necessarily be that the fact that they are in prison, but it could be they're in the prison in their minds. We are in a constant battle, and that is for the mind. Because this world likes to destroy people, and we are here to build people up. These readings that you've been given today give you permission. They are also a warning to us. It is also a command. We are disciples of Christ. And this means we have to get involved in the world, just as he did. While it cost him dearly, he was not afraid to visit the sick, to give freedom to those who were in prison. That he was willing to give his spirit to those who needed a drink. And he went into a situation and turned it on its head. So it was the right way up. So rather than people destroy each other, they could live in harmony one with each other. He was prepared to give the wisdom of God to people's lives. In Jesus' time, the Samaritan, now the Samaritan means anyone living in Samaria. Later it became to mean a race of persons who formed when Jews married non-Jews. Now the Jews hated the Samaritans, absolutely hated them. They'd even refused to set foot in the Samaritan territory. So why did Jesus use them as an example? You know, none of us, if we desire it, are above redemption. None of us are excluded. If you're loved, you're not excluded. If you're hated, you're not excluded. If you're ridiculed, you're not excluded. If you loathe yourself, you're not excluded. You see, God doesn't hate, he loves. God desires all of you to have a relationship with him, for he loves you And if you're a man within this community, God wishes for you to be the warrior for this community. He wishes for you to be the hunter that goes out and finds the souls and brings them back. So those who are in here within this church can tend them, can care for them, to grow them, to nurture them, to repair those broken souls so that the Lord Jesus Christ can fulfill them, so they might get baptized, so they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, so they too might become warriors or people who are here to heal those who need help, to repair shattered lives. Christ shows this Samaritan, the very person who everyone would have hated if they were a Jew. He was the one who had pity and love. He was the warrior going out and finding those that needed help and succor. If the Samaritan could have this in their heart, then how much more does God have this in the heart, in his heart for you? What is your response to him? You know, many people say, as it says in here, to love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? You can respond if you want. Who's your neighbor? Everybody? Thank you. Everybody. But how can you love the down and out? The person that smells, the bag lady, the hooded young lad. Those people who are afraid of. They're strangers to us. They're strange, aren't they? They're strange. But who knows them intimately? Thank you. Jesus. And his love is supposed to be inside of us. And that is how we can love our neighbor. For his love is inside of us, then it's possible to reach out. We do not have to be afraid. For God will guide us into those places with safety and kindness and love. He knows them intimately. He knows the problem and he knows the words that we need to minister to people's lives. But do you allow that love to flow through you? Are you a man of this church? Are you going out to seek, to find, to battle for those who are lost, those who are most hated, those that the world would rush by, those who would be suspicious of, those who we would least be involved with, those who are most hated, just as the world hated Jesus. Jesus tended those in need, and the people responded exactly, the establishment responded exactly in the same way. They hated him for it, for he showed their hypocrisy. As Christ's body, the church today, we have allowed the world to do what the Samaritan has done, but in a very clinical way, where we, the very people, should care and tend and feed, give drink, clothe, house, provide support and ministry. We've abdicated our responsibility. We believe it's the secular world's institutions' remit. Yet this is not what God tells us. While it's great to have all their input, many people will tell you, I've heard many testimonies from America and other places that when the clinical services go in, while they tear people apart in their analysis of people's lives, they offer no hope. Do you have hope in your life? Is Christ in your life so that you can give hope to others? You see, only God's people can reach out and heal and give hope. Only God's people can flow with the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God's people can love the unlovable, because God is loving through you. Only you can see with the eyes of Christ if you allow him into your life. Only you can recognize those who need to be helped because you are prompted by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the world can only give money and counsel. You can give what needs to be given to mend broken lives. If we are to feed others, then you need to be fed. But have you received your daily bread? Have you got the wisdom of God inside of your life? It doesn't mean that you're a theologian, but rather you're able to understand the oracles of God, and you know how Jesus would react in that particular given situation. If you are to give someone something to drink, have you tasted the power of God's Holy Spirit? If you are to clothe those who are you naked yourself? Or have you put on the armor of God so you can battle and weather and survive and conquer because of what Christ has done with you and wishes to do with you as a church? You know, a church cannot be poor if it is to clothe people. Allow God's blessings to come in amongst you and build you up so that you can be a power and a force to be reckoned with. If we are to visit the sick, do you have faith that God's power would be in your life? So as you reach out and touch someone, they would feel the power of Christ. For you acting as that conduit. You know, it's not us who do the healing, it's the power of God who is in our lives. Have you received healing? Then go out and ask others if they require to be prayed for so that God might heal them. If we are to visit those in prison, are you stuck in your own prison? Are you free? Or are you trapped? Do you understand what it is to be lonely so therefore you can give? The one person who can go with you anywhere. The one person who can follow you anywhere. The one person that never leaves you. If we are to minister to others, we have to fulfill the mandate that Christ has given us. If we are to escape the wrath of God and the terror of hell. You know, for our reading this morning, I don't know if you remember what it says when the goats get cast into hell. This is a great thing for us, but so few people actually recognize it. For it says, they were cast into hell, which was created for the devil and his demons. So what was hell created for? It wasn't for us. That isn't our destiny. That isn't for us. It's up to us to tell people you don't have to go there. There is a place for you. But do you have that faith? Do you have that assurance? Do you know exactly where you're going? Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your Master and Friend. Hell wasn't created for us. If it wasn't created for us down there, it's not created for us here. So therefore we can have heaven amongst us as a people of God. If we have the men who are warriors for Christ, and we have the women who are there to bring the love of Christ amongst us as Christ's people. You see, God has commanded us, for we are free and we have been given access to Him. The one who sits on high has saved you. I wonder if you feel saved here this evening. Is Christ in your life in power and in strength, that you are able to overcome, or do you feel daunted no matter what comes into your life? You see, He will enable you. He will give you what you need so that you might be His people in the world. The trouble is, He can't give anything to you if your arms have crossed. He can't give you any more. But if your arms are open, because you're willing, as soon as you receive something, to give it to someone else, He can give you so more. If your hands are holding on to that which is most precious to you, how can Christ give you anything else? Because your hand isn't open. But if your hand is open, He can pile more and more into your life. But are you prepared to open, take the risk, enable Him so that you might have a life which is fulfilled, that has a destiny? Do not be a church like the Levite. Do not be a priestly people, but rather be like the Samaritan. Be just as our Lord was. Be as a church of Christ, that as Christ would look upon you, He would be proud of you, that He would say to His Father, look at what these people are doing. How can we bless them even more so that they could do even greater things, that he might wonder at you for who and what you are, individually and collectively? Allow Christ to be proud of you. A church which serves the Lord. For remember, you have received mercy, you have received God's love, and in your lives there should be a passion and purpose and destiny for this world. I hope today that perhaps you've received some encouragement from these messages, that perhaps you would ask God to tarry amongst you so that you might be a people that the world would marvel at. You see, all these things are available to you and within your grasp. It could be, perhaps, that you just prefer to be, as many churches are, a Sunday church club, instead of being the people that God desires them to be, who are part and parcel of the kingdom of God, which should be upon this earth because of who and what you are. This evening, why not come to Jesus? Why not come to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and fulfill your potential in him? For you see, he wishes for you to be his arm in this world, so that you might be a blessing, so that he might bless you. For he is here, he is waiting for you. He desires to bless you. He wishes for you to receive his love and his grace and his might, so your faith would get ever higher and greater and bigger. For you see, he desires you to have the power to change the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here this evening. And I would ask, dear Lord, that I don't know if you've... there are people here this evening that don't know the Lord in the depth that they would desire. Perhaps they've just taken the first few steps of... Our God asks us to be obedient to him. And he says, come, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you're thinking of baptism. Then be filled. Come and be baptized just as the Lord Jesus Christ was. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. For if our Lord was willing to do it, then we should also. And great freedom and love would be in your life. Perhaps you've never given your life and heart to Christ. Well, here's an opportunity. Open the door and say, Lord, rush in. Come in. For I no longer want to be the person that I am, but rather I wish and desire to be your child, so that I might be an adopted heir in the kingdom of God and have assurance and security for all time. Perhaps you've been a Christian for a while, and perhaps you feel stale and you're feeling a bit despondent and you want more. Then that should be the desire of all Christians. For Christ is talking to you and saying to you, I want you to do more with me. That could be prayer. It could be laying on of hands. It could be teaching. It could be many things. Don't limit Christ in your life, but rather, again, throw open the door and say, Lord, fill me afresh and let me feel your power in my life. Let's spend a few moments with the Lord Jesus Christ so that he might minister to you. You men, perhaps you desire to be his warriors here this evening. Ask him. Demand of him. Lord, send us out. Send us to seek, to find, to conquer for you, so that I might bring people back here, so that they would find Jesus, for he is our God amongst us. Spend a few moments of quiet with him. Lord, thank you. We praise you and bless you. Help us to do greater things for you, for you have done so much for us. Let us not be afraid, but rather be willing to go on. Let's share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will.